drywall many years ago, and it basically goes, you know, hey Tara, good, how are you? Nothing, just sitting down finally. Great, no, no, really, it's gorgeous, it's huge. It's a sort of salmon. There's a color code in this subdivision. There's salmon and a yellowy beige and adobe and emerald, but it's more like pistachio. Five, we kind of set it up like a master bedroom, guest room, office, den, and then the other will leave open for a kid's room and just store stuff for there and there for now. Basically, you know, it worked as a spoken word piece, and I do it on a basic four-chord rhythm without a lot of melodic inflection. And I thought, well, you know, this is one that I could probably present as a spoken piece without any solid rhythm, without any guitar accompaniment. The problem is that I go through, you know, 7/8 of the song with it just being essentially the dialogue or the one side of the dialogue of this woman. But at the end, there is a repeated refrain of "Bring Our Boys Home" that I sing. And I start low, it gets higher, it has a bit of a plaintive feel to it, so it's not barked out, it's not angry, even though the wording is "Bring Our Boys Home," there's not that sense that I'm demanding anything of anyone. With the musical accompaniment, it allows me to present it in a more plaintive way, but as I bring it up, as I sing it higher and louder, it brings the point home, "Bring Our Boys Home." When I just recited, I tried doing it, and when I got to the very end, instead of being able to do a long, extended, one-minute reveal of the refrain for the first time heard, "Bring Our Boys Home," I just said, "Bring Our Boys Home," once. And it didn't work. So I think my point is that you know, that's why I'm saying that when I try to make that difference between song lyric and poem, there's so the song, the melody, the rhythm, all of those things are so infused into the actual creation process. It's always going back and forth. Often when you get your decision of how to write a piece, the musical idea comes at the exact same time as the lyrical idea. You know, I wrote a piece based on a headline I saw in a newspaper in Krakow called "The British Rape Krakow," in which there's a picture of a drunk Englishman with his shirt off falling out of a porta potty with "I Suck Cock" written on his back and lipstick and two guys throwing up next to him. And I wanted to write a piece called "The British Rape Krakow," and immediately as I was thinking about that, I had the rhythm in my mind and the guitar riff on my tongue as I was walking right after saying that, and had to play it into a dictaphone, and immediately went and started writing the piece with the musical idea and the lyrical idea simultaneously there. Also, I wrote a piece about a dead elephant called "Princess with a Big Heart." Again, it was the title of it was the headline of an article about an elephant who had died in a game park. And I immediately started to sing the piece as though I were a walking, loping elephant. The rhythm was part and parcel with the content of the piece. And this happens over and over again, I think, with songwriters, is that they're looking for the ideal presentation. I think not to say that obviously when a poem is recited that the energy and the rhythm and the musicality isn't a huge part of the effectiveness of the presentation. But it the thing about a song lyric is, while I'm hungering to go back to all of those poems that I wrote in the last 8 months and rework and edit them and be very meticulous with the word choice, often I don't do that with lyrics. I have this sense that it somehow betrays the rock and roll spirit to mess too much with whatever those initial feelings and impulses were in writing the lyric. You know, once a melody has had a way with a phrase and made it an appealing sound, the literal meaning of the word is again somehow less important, and the writer assumes that if there is a line or two that sort of stray or get a little weak, that it will be forgiven by the listener in the context of the whole song.